Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
John, we just started John 17 last week, which is the longest prayer that we have of Jesus. So we've been in the last night of Jesus' life for like months. The last night of Jesus' life starts in John 13, and right now we're in John 17. Tonight, we are actually going to take a break from that. We're taking a break from John yet again. I know, disappointment. We're just trying to prolong John. My goal is to get for us to take 4 years to get through the book of John. That's where we're at. I think we're like 2.5 years deep. No, that's not true. We're like a year and a half deep. Is it a year and a half? That's true. That makes sense. But you're staying now, so that's good. Potentially. Lord willing. All right. Anyways, we are taking a break, and tonight we're actually going to be in the book of Psalms. So the same book that that Zach was talking about, we're going to be in Psalms 139. So you guys can open your Bibles there. It's going to be like close to the very middle of your Bible. And if you've got a phone, then you can open it there. But tonight we are going to look at this is like one of my favorite psalms in the Bible, and it's a psalm that I refer to often in teachings because this actually gives us a perspective on God's view of us. And there are so many incredibly important truths for us to know and to understand about God and how he sees us. And what we look at today, man, this is so, even as I was studying it, like I've read this psalm so many times in my life, and even as I was just studying it and dissecting it and getting into what like God communicates to us through David in this psalm, it is so deep and it is so beautiful. And so I'm really excited to look at this and really talk about like how this applies to our life and how we need to understand this as we relate to God and how God relates to us. But let's go ahead and let's pray, and then we'll get into it. So, Father, we just come before you in this place, in this moment. Lord, and I do just thank you for every individual that you brought here tonight. God, I know that it's no accident that you brought these individuals here tonight to hear what you have to say in Psalm 139. So I just pray, God, that your spirit would just move, that you would just speak to every single one of us personally and individually. Lord, those people that really just need to hear the truths spoken in Psalms 139, that you would just speak so clearly, God, and so deeply to us. And we just thank you that you have given us this place where we can come and we can worship you. We thank you for giving us your word, where we can learn about these truths and just how you see us and how you love us. And so we just praise you for who you are, and we just dedicate this time to you, and we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of like, usually I'll go like verse by verse, and we'll really like dig into it and talk about what these specific verses are communicating. This week we're going to kind of go through chunks because there's three different sections that that hit on specific topics. And so we're going to go through the sections. The first one that we're going to go through is verses 1 through 6. So I'm just going to read through verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. So starting in verse 1 of Psalms 139, it says this: O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. So verses 1 through 6 are teaching us, are communicating to us, that we are totally and completely known by God. And if the psalm was to stop here, this would be a pretty terrifying reality. And the question, and you ask why, it's because you are completely known by God. God knows every single thing about you. God knows every single thing that you have ever done, every secret thing that you have never told your best friends and your closest family members. God knows. And not only that, but he knows every word that you've spoken, every evil, vile, inappropriate, rude, condescending, angry word that has ever come out of your mouth. God knows. Every lie that you have ever told, God knows. Even before it says it left your mouth. And it doesn't even stop here. But he knows every thought that has ever entered your mind. Every thought that you've ever entertained. Every prideful thought you've had of yourself. Every lustful thought you've had of every man or woman. Every wicked thought and angry, evil thought that you've had toward people. You are totally and completely known by God. Unlike anyone on this planet knows you, including yourself, God knows you. Starting in verse 7, it says, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol," another word for this is hell or the pit, "you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." So the general idea of what's being communicated in these verses is that not only are you totally and completely known by God, but you cannot escape God. There's nowhere that you can run that God will not be. There's nowhere that you can hide that he cannot find. Even in the most solitude places on the planet where a human being has never even been, God is present and he is there with you. Again, if the psalm ended here, this would be a pretty terrifying reality. But the psalm does not end here. And what we get in the next verses, 13 through 18, gives us the incredible and the beautiful context of verses 1 through 12. So let's read verses 13 through 18. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." This is where we see the beautiful heart of our God towards us. He does not simply know us just to be there and to condemn us and to judge us. It communicates here that he is the one who formed us. He is the one who actually created us. And it says that he made us fearfully and wonderfully. And I don't know if you guys have ever looked into what these two words mean in the original Hebrew and the original language in which they were written. But these words hold some serious weight. This first word, fearfully, in Hebrew is yareh. And what this word means is to cause astonishment and awe of Yahweh himself. To cause astonishment and awe of Yahweh himself. Yahweh, this is the name of God. This is the I am, the all-present one, the all-powerful one. Man, the greatest being imaginable. He looks at you and he is in awe and he is in astonishment. That is overwhelming when you think about that. That the incredible God of the universe that sees everything looks at us, these small, insignificant nobodies, And he is in awe and astonishment. For those of you that get the just ridiculous honor and blessing to have kids, you will understand what it means to be in awe and astonishment of a being in a light that you had never comprehended before. There are so many times, I have two boys and another boy on the way. There are so many times when I look at my boys, when I look at Judah's face and Abel's face, and I am just like in complete just awe and astonishment at just the beauty, man, and the beauty of these beings that God has created. And it's just so wild when you think about how we are created in God's image, and then he allows us to like experience an understanding and idea of these little beings like coming out of our image, right? Like my sons are out of the image of me and my wife. And so it's like you just have this ridiculous bond and love for these beings. And this concept of being in awe and astonishment of them, just seeing them, man, when just looking at my boys' faces, when they're sleeping, when they're smiling, when they're laughing, when they're playing with each other, just like this idea, I really do like hope and pray that you guys, that a lot of you guys get the opportunity to experience that, because it allows you to understand how God sees you so much more. When God sees you, he is in awe and astonishment. And then this word wonderfully is also just so beautiful, because this word is pala, and it means separated and distinct. So it's not like Yahweh just looks at the entire human race as a whole and is in awe and astonishment, but he looks at you personally and specifically, and he is in awe and in astonishment. He looks at you, man, and it's so hard when we understand the insignificance of ourselves, when we understand like how undeserving and how sinful and messed up we are and how small we are compared to God. It's hard to comprehend that, but that is why he has given us his word. That is why he has given us this psalm, to tell you, I see you. I see you where you are. You may not value yourself. You may not value your own life, but the creator of the universe does. You may not look at yourself in the mirror and be in awe and astonishment. And if you did, I mean, I might be a little concerned. But God, the creator, sees you and is so in love with you. And it's so mind-blowing to understand this. This is the heart behind why you were created, why you were put here on this earth. You were created in love by God. He created you to know you and to be in relationship with you. Verses 15 and 16 say, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. That shows us that God's love for us, his deep, deep love for us, has absolutely nothing to do with our actions or our works. He does not love us conditionally. He loved you wholly and completely before you were ever born, before you ever saw the first light of day, before you ever took your first breath. God saw you in your mother's womb, and he loved you totally and completely. He loved us first. Before anyone else on this planet even know you existed, he loved you first. And he loves us more unconditionally than anyone ever could on this planet. These verses teach us of the just ridiculous and incredible value that God has for us as people, for God has for us as his image bearers, that God has for human life as a whole. So every person, no matter what their ethnicity, no matter their nationality, their income level, their age, man, their education level. All of us, every person is created in the image of God and is created fearfully and is created wonderfully even before they enter the world. It is true for us, man, and it is true for those that are still in the womb. And this is one of the reasons why I really wanted to like talk about this, because we live in a culture right now that very much so this issue of abortion is one of the very like hot topics of our culture. It's one of those things that people are deeply for, deeply against, and kind of on the fence on. And many people view this topic as a political issue or women's rights issue, but at the root of it, it's so much more than that. I read an article a couple days ago from the University of Arizona on Prop 139, and that's the abortion action proposition. And this is a quote from the vice president of the U of A. She's the vice president of the U of A Planned Parenthood General Action. And she said, this isn't about politics, this isn't about religion, this isn't about morals, this is about a resource that everybody can have access to. So in the culture that we live in, taking the life of a human being that is created in the image of God is viewed as a resource. And that shouldn't surprise us in the society that we live in. It shouldn't surprise us that so many people view abortion this way. And when you ask why, it's because we live in a society that is very self-focused. And all of us understand this, and all of us are prone to this. This is literally what sin, the root of sin is pride, right? Putting ourselves above everything. That's what the first sin was when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. That is the sin of Satan himself, the devil himself, right? His pride, thinking that he was more important than God. He deserved more praise and worship than God. And so it's not surprising that's the kind of society that we live in that is separated from God. And so you ask this question, why would human life have intrinsic value in the first place? And I don't know how you can answer that question without a biblical worldview. I don't know how you could answer that question without God. Why a human life would have intrinsic value. Value just because it is. Because under a biblical worldview, human life has intrinsic value because it was created by God and in his image. That is just like this psalm communicates. Every single one of us is valuable, is highly valued by God, is created fearfully and wonderfully even before we enter this world, even before we see the light of day and take our first breath. And it's there's so many like consequences to the thinking of abortion if you continue down that road and you don't see the deep value of human life. And something that just came to mind is like if this, what is further down the road? What's like the next step when it comes to abortion? And one of the first thoughts that came to mind is this like concept of assisted suicide. I was like, why would assisted suicide, how could you say that assisted suicide is morally wrong if abortion isn't considered morally wrong? And I actually looked it up, and Canada has already legalized assisted suicide. There are some countries that only legalize it. There's like 10 countries in the world that have it legalized. No, that's not true. I think there might be 10 states that have it legalized. Don't take any of those. Don't say like, hey, JD said that this is what it, yeah, I think it's 10 states, but anyways. So most places have it legalized if you have been diagnosed with something that is incurable. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've been given 6 months or less to live, then assisted suicide, they don't call it assisted suicide, what do they call it? They call it medical aid in dying. That is legal. You can just say, you know what? I just want to take that little concoction and be done, and that's legalized, and you can do that. Within a couple hours, you'll be gone. It's kind of like putting like your animals to sleep, which is really unfortunate. But in Canada, they have legalized. So this is a quote. Patients with a psychiatric illness, depression, anxiety, etc., should not be discriminated against solely on the basis of their disability and should have available the same options regarding MAID, medical aid in dying, as they call it, as available to all patients. And so if somebody has deep depression and anxiety and medication isn't working, counseling isn't working, then they are legally able to go and receive this concoction that just ends their life. And so it's not when you see that we live in a culture that doesn't see the human life as intrinsic value, like this is like the path that we're on. And the only way for our country to turn the tide, the only way for our world, man, to turn a tide in where we're headed is through Jesus. It's only through people knowing their true purpose. It's only through people knowing their true identity and living in it that is actually going to change society, that is actually going to change people and change the country and change our culture that we live in. When people understand how valued they are by God, how valued they are, how loved they are by God, and that they were created with purpose, and they put God on the throne of their lives, and they submit to him, only then will people truly experience the kind of life that God has for them. And if you are in here right now, and you just kind of, and you have been suffering with this, you've just been in this place where you're just kind of questioning and you're teeter-tottering on this idea of Christianity and submitting your life to God and giving your life to God or not, and just kind of dancing on the fence of it. If you understood, man, how valued you are by God, how loved you are, how you have a purpose, how you were created for an identity, and you submit to that, man, you are going to experience the life that God has for you. And it's not going to be, it's not just a life of sunshine and rainbows and everything goes great, nothing ever bad happens to you. Man, even in my own life, like right now, things are difficult. In the like last night at midnight, like my son woke up and I heard like this faint crying, and I didn't know if it was like in my house or not. I was like, maybe this is somebody that's outside. And then I like heard it again. So I got up and went to my son's room, and Abel, my baby, my 2-year-old, like was trying to cry, but like barely could. And he just like couldn't breathe. And this is like something that happens. Both my boys have been diagnosed with asthma. Both of my boys get croup like really bad. I've had to like rush both of my sons to the ER because they can't breathe. And this was just another night where my son woke up and he can't breathe. And so it's like, we have to call 911, and they come and they give him all this other stuff. And so it's just like, your life isn't butterflies and rainbows just because you give your life to Christ and you live for him. Like really, like difficult things happen. Sucky things happen. We live in a broken world. Jesus said that in this world, you will have trouble. That's gonna happen. But I can look at my life and I can know that God is good. I can look at my life and I can know that I am so ridiculously blessed, that I have so many things in my life to be thankful for. I can go through things like this and still have joy. I can go through circumstances like that and still have peace, because God promises that for us. And he is a good father. He is consistent. He follows through on his promises. And I do believe that we have a duty to use the privilege to vote that we've been given, and to vote in accordance with God's heart is and what God's desires are. But we have an even greater duty to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Man, to share the gospel and the love of God with people who do not know him. So with this specific proposition on 139, like absolutely. And this proposition, it's so like, and you guys know that I don't get like political in here, and I don't talk about like this, that, and the other. But this one is different, because when you read through, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I'm just gonna say it for what it is. So right now, if you were to ask, what are the abortion laws in Arizona right now. Right now, abortion is legal up to 15 weeks. If there is a high risk, if you are diagnosed with a high risk pregnancy, then you are able to get an abortion by a licensed physician. And there are so many things that there are so many procedures that they have to do and walk through in order for it to be safe for the woman that's having it done. If you are to get an abortion, even before 15 weeks, they are required right now to tell you how old the baby is, to tell you how developed the baby is, like their heart is developed, their brain is developed. They're required to communicate these things. They're required to do an ultrasound to see the baby, to make sure that like things are done well. They're required to like ask the patient if they want to see the baby. There's a lot of things in place with abortion right now. What this proposition is putting out is that abortion would be legalized up until the point of what's the word? Viability, which the earliest baby that has been born is 20 weeks, but it's not specified in this bill. It does say that if the pregnancy negatively affects the pregnant person, either physically or mentally, that they can still obtain an abortion after the point of viability, which is anywhere in the third trimester, anywhere up until birth. And it says that they just have to be diagnosed by a medical professional. So they took out physician, they took out doctor, and it just has to be a medical professional, and it doesn't specify who that is. It could be somebody that had like a 2-year counseling certificate and decides, yeah, this is just one thing. Knowing, having a wife that is pregnant right now, has been pregnant twice before, I have never met a pregnant person that has not suffered some kind of stress or anxiety being pregnant, because your life is about to change. I experience stress thinking about how I'm going to have a third kid, and now we can't go man-to-man anymore, and it's going to be zone defense now because I got 3 kids. That stresses me out. But so it's like there's no way that anybody's going to go through it. And for those of you in this room that have been pregnant, you're like, dude, I know what you're talking. There's no way that you just feel like, oh, butterflies and rainbows the whole time. When you're about to, never mind. I'm getting deep right now. My wife is about to go into birth. It's not fun. She feels pain. And I feel pain because her nails are going into my back when she's getting contractions. And I'm like, oh, Lord, please let this contraction end. But that's why everyone needs to get, what are they called? They shoot you in the spine. And you go limp. Epidural. Epidurals are from God. But I'm going way off on a rabbit trail right now. Going back to what I'm actually communicating. It would take out, and not only that, not only would it change all of these things, but it would take away, it literally specifies in this proposition that anybody that plays any role in this abortion cannot be charged with any kind of crime. They can't be charged with anything. So if this person that performs the abortion is not licensed, not a doctor, botches it, and this woman now goes through horrible complications and ends up dying, nobody, that person is legally, nothing can happen to them. Man, there's so many things about this. I read this and it's just like, man, this is not good for anybody involved. This is not good for like the women. This is not good for the baby, obviously. Like, this is not a good thing. But so I do believe that we need to use the privilege that God has given us to vote. But more than that, even if, like, let's say, for example, November 6th comes around, Prop 139 actually, it doesn't get passed, right? Let's say it doesn't get passed. That does not mean that all of a sudden people's hearts and lives are going to be changed, and they're going to like give their lives to the Lord, and there's going to be this great revival. That doesn't, so just because a proposition doesn't get passed, that doesn't really change the heart of anything, which is why we need to be praying for people. We need to be sharing Jesus's love with people through our actions and our words. We are called, we were created to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this generation. God put every single one of us in this generation, in this culture, specifically and purposefully. We have been called to the people here in Tucson, Arizona, in the communities that you live in the schools that you live in the places that you work. That this is the place that you have been called to be the light of Jesus. People need to know why they were put here on earth. People need to know who they were created to be, what their identity is. People need to know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by the creator of the universe. Man, people need love desperately. People need love unconditionally. People need hope. And Jesus offers all of this. Jesus offers to satisfy every need that we have. He offers to satisfy every physical need that we have in the Sermon on the Mount. And then he also offers to satisfy every spiritual and mental need, emotional need that we have. That is what he gives us. And so when we choose to trust him, when we step in out of the way and stop trusting in ourselves and trusting in, all these things that we think are going to help us, and doing all these different things, and we actually allow him to work in our lives, and we fully submit our lives to him, man, this is when we see, this is when we truly experience it, where it's not just like this concept that we talk about or think it's true, but without actually like believing it. And this is, there's such a difference between knowing something is true and experiencing that thing. You may sit here and know that God is good, that God gives peace, that God gives joy, that God has that for you, and still never experience it because you haven't actually invested in your relationship with him and given him the opportunity. I've talked about this before in the past. It's like there's a difference between being loved by God and actually experiencing a love relationship with God. And the analogy I've used before, it's like I love both of my sons the same. I didn't think it was possible. I was actually really scared when my wife was pregnant with my second son because I thought there is no way I'm going to be able to love this kid as much as I love my first son. There's no way. Like I have never loved anything in the world as much as I love this kid. It's impossible for me to love this other kid as much as I love him. I was terrified. I talked to my dad about it. I was like, Dad, he's got 5 kids. I'm like, bruh, how? How do you love us all? How do you do that? And he's like, honestly, he's like, I felt the same way. He's like, God just does this thing where it almost feels like he just grows your ability. He grows your heart, your ability to love more. And I experienced that when my second son was born. It was just like, oh, I just love him exactly the same. I didn't think I was capable of loving 2 things exactly the same, but I am. And so I'm not too worried. I do think about it sometimes where I'm like, what about a third? Because that's crazy, right? Can I love a third son? But anyways, What was I going with this? Come on, somebody help me. Oh my gosh, thank you, Addy, for listening. So I love my kids exactly. See, this is why I can't go off on rabbit trails because I can't reel it back sometimes. So if my son Abel, let's say both my boys grow up, and Abel is like, you know what, Dad? I'm done. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to go move to another place. He blocks my number. I try to write him. I try to visit him. He just ignores me. And my son Judah, like, answers when I call. When I want to go get lunch with him and breakfast with him, he shows up. Like, when I give him gifts and stuff, like, he receives it. My love for both my boys is not going to be any different. I'm going to love Abel just as much and the same as I love Judah. But the way that they experience that love is going to be very, very different. Because Abel has refused. He's put up a wall and says, I don't want it. So we can be, you can absolutely be loved by God, but not experience the beauty of a deep relationship with him because you're just off doing your own thing. You don't read his word. You don't spend time to pray with him. You don't actually like invest in relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So you can be loved by God and not experience the beauty of actually having a relationship with him. But when you do that, man, when you step into that relationship and you start spending and investing time with your creator that loves you more than you can ever imagine, man, this is when you start to see the fruit of that relationship in your life, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that joy that is present in the midst of things that you, that there is no way you could have joy in. That is when you experience the beauty of the relationship. So I challenge you guys, men, to read this psalm. I'm gonna give you a practical challenge this week. I challenge you to read this psalm every day this week. Read this psalm every day and read it knowing the heart and the context behind it. Because those first 12 verses become so incredibly encouraging when you understand the context. Let's just read them again. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the night about me. Oh, snap, that was the fridge. It's like, dude, what was that trash? I was about to pull right now. I'm just kidding. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. The darkness is as light with you. When you read those verses, understanding the context, knowing the last 6 verses, man, those become so incredibly encouraging. Why? Because God's not like that person that loves you right now for what they see, but you're terrified that they're going to find out things about your past or secret things about you and they're going to leave you. You're terrified of being like fully known by this person because what if they leave? God's not like that. He fully knows you, fully knows every single secret thing about you, and he is there. And that's the other thing. You don't have to be worried that God is like one of those people that is only there when it's convenient for you, for them. And we've all been in those kinds of friendships, maybe even relationships, with people that are only there for you when it's convenient for them. God's not like that. He is always present. He is always there for you. He is always bending down to listen to what you have to say because he loves you. He will never forsake you. He made you. He created you in love. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. He looks at you and he is in astonishment and he is in awe. So again, read this psalm every day. If you need to set an alarm, if you're someone like me, you have to set an alarm because as soon as you walk out that door, trash is gone. Set an alarm. If you need to do it right meow, do it, right? I won't be offended. Set an alarm. Start your day, man. Start your day with reading it. Start your day talking to your heavenly Father. Man, communicating and starting your day in relationship with the God who loves you. And pray about this. This is another challenge. Pray about who God might want you to share this psalm with. Ask God to give you opportunities this week to share these incredible truths with someone. Text, and man, think about potentially texting someone, man, maybe that you haven't seen in a while, someone that you know has kind of just gone off, man, maybe they were coming to church with you for a while, maybe this is someone that is really close to you, and they've gone off, man, and you don't have the opportunity to talk with them, think about texting them, just encouraging them with this song, or letting them know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and let's just see, man, how the Lord opens doors for us to share. Maybe he shuts doors. And if God shuts doors, don't be like one of those weirdos. Don't be like one of those people that is like, no, I'm gonna knock this door down. If somebody is shut off and they don't want to talk about it and they're not listening to you, you're not helping anybody by just continuing to shove Jesus down their throat. They've shut their mouth. They don't want to hear it. I was just having a conversation with Jack before this about like casting your pearls before swine. Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine. If people aren't listening to what you have to say and they don't want to hear what you have to say, you don't have to shove it down their throat. Pray for them, love them, pray for opportunities for for these conversations to go up. If they ask questions, answer them. I was telling him about the time in the Marine Corps where I had my homie that every time Jesus came up, he's like, oh, Reyes, you're such an idiot for believing in that stuff. I can't believe you're a Christian. I can't believe you're that stupid that you would believe that Jesus died and that he rose again. And so that was the conversation that would happen. He was still like one of my good friends. I'd hang out with him. I'd talk with him. But as soon as Jesus or Christianity came up, he would get angry. And he would not let, like, if he asked me a question, I'd answer it. But as soon as it got, like, emotional, I was like, all right, I got to stop because he's not listening at this point. It's not getting anywhere. And eventually it did come to the place where he texted me after I got out of the Marine Corps. He texted me and he told me, like, hey, man, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. I haven't really committed my life to Christ yet, but I'm on my way. And so you never know, man, how God is going to work. Sometimes it's not immediate. Sometimes it's the long game, and that's hard. But that's why we continue to pray. We continue to love people well. And just when God opens the door, we walk through it. The only way that our nation is really going to change is through us being the light of the world. Us being the hands and feet of Jesus. Us sharing the beauty of the gospel and the value that God has for people. It is only going to come through people encountering and following Jesus. Romans says in 10 verses 11 through 14, it says, the scriptures say, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on them in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching, without someone telling them? And all of us have been in that position where we feel like God is tugging on our heart and putting on our heart to share with someone, but we get scared and we don't do it. Take a step of faith. How will they know? How will they know why they were created? How will they know the gospel, the good news, if we don't open our mouths, man, and share it? If we aren't living our lives for Christ and showing them what true love looks like, showing them how God sees them and loves them and values them. That is what we are called to do. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are called to go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations. So let's do it, man. That is our secondary purpose. Our primary purpose is to have a relationship with God. Once that is fulfilled, your secondary purpose is to now go out and be his hands and feet so that others can experience their primary purpose. That is how God created it. He uses us, and he has called you, every single one of you that has given your life to him, he has called you to be his hands and feet and to go out in the world and love people well. Let's pray, and then we'll get into one more song of worship. Father, we do just thank you for just the incredible love that you have for us. Lord, I pray for those in this room that have not seen the value of their life, that have maybe forgotten or neglected the way that you see us and the way that you love us. God, I thank you for this reminder. Lord, we're just so blown away at the fact that you look at us, broken and messed up sinners, and you are in awe and astonishment of us. Lord, thank you that you proved your love for us by going to the cross and dying and taking all of our sin, all of our shortcoming on yourself, just so that we can have this kind of relationship with you. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. I pray that you would just fill us with a boldness to go out, Lord, and be your hands and feet in this just incredibly divided world that we live in. God, help us to be the light in this dark time. Give us everything that we need to live out the secondary purpose that you have for us. We thank you for everything that you give us. We thank you for this relationship that we get to experience with you. Just pray that you would be glorified through our lives. We pray that right now, as we worship you, that you would be worshiped in spirit and truth. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey everyone, Pastor JD here. You've been listening to a teaching from Ignition Tucson, the Young Adults Ministry of Calvary Tucson. If you live in the greater Tucson area and you're between the ages of 18 to 28, we want to invite you to join us in person. We meet every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. at Calvary Tucson's East Campus on Speedway and Camino Seco. Come join us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace.